Hi, everybody. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. I'm the queer guy with a third eye. My show is a call-in advice show that blends New Age practice with grounded advice. Call me with questions about love, relationships, career, abundance. No topic is off limits. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis. It's all happening right now. Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. And guys, happy spring.
Yay!
It's the first day of spring. Although, Benny, I have a feeling you being in Seattle, our being in L.A., looks a little bit more like spring here than it does there.
I don't know. We got a little bit of sunshine. I can see it, but it's on the other side of all that rain.
You're still lit through Skype. Like, it's very ominous.
Thank you. It's my presence.
Like, you don't want to admit that you eat Frosted Flakes. Remember those commercials?
No.
Awkward. You don't?
No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. Of course I remember.
I was thinking this morning with spring, when David and I first moved into our house, we had no idea what to do with the yard. You know, we were from New York City. We've never had a yard
never
before.
Never had a yard. Yeah. You, what's
exactly.
This?
So we just kept the same gardener. And for like the first year.
You flew him out here?
No. That from the original.
Wow, you guys are big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We flew him out here from New York.
Like a hairstylist. No, we flew out our gardener.
Yeah, we always have our team.
Right.
But he would always blame us when things in the yard wouldn't work. And we were trying things over and over again, and the lawn started dying. And he would always blame us. And it was this weird thing for a year where we were like, well, he's the gardener. He's the expert. And so finally, we got the courage. And by we, I mean David. I was like, you fire him. And we got rid of him, and we hired a new guy. What was it, like 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And our yard looks spectacular. Ooh. Like, as we get closer and closer to spring, things are blooming, roses are bursting, it's happening, and I'm so excited for spring this year because I feel like there are going to be so many more colors in our yard that we've never experienced before.
I know, they're beautiful. I wish I could do that myself.
I do too,
I don't
but
know
I'm
what
just
they're...
not that person.
I think you guys can, you just don't have the time for it.
Are you kidding? David planted Brussels sprouts and lettuce and carrots, but none of it happened. We're trying, and we're trying to be organic people. And then I was like, well, maybe we should get some chemicals just to see what
but
happens.
But Brussels sprouts? Do you usually start out of the gate with that? I
mean, that is my favorite vegetable.
Okay, then.
Started last year with tomatoes.
With tomatoes,
and those worked
right.
really well. The tomatoes and cucumbers, but the Brussels sprouts are...
And mint and all that good stuff.
Whoa.
Speaking of our yard, which, as you all know, has been featured on the Oprah Winfrey Network several times. It's a huge star. Guys, Rosie O'Donnell's show was canceled.
Saw it coming.
I did too. I thought so. I mean, it was so much money to invest. Definitely thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then what was interesting was, I thought it was interesting that they released the news on Friday afternoon, which I guess publicity-wise is a smart thing because you can't get, you're going to miss the news wave and there's not too much that's going to happen over the weekend. But like immediately all over the internet, it was Roe versus Roe and they're fighting and they're this and they're that.
Roe versus Roe.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
It's funny how
I was
you brought like, it up. This is funny.
They make Roe this versus Roe.
Spectacle from it.
So I was excited to see the show yesterday that was live that she did. And I thought Rosie handled it extremely graciously. She said that they had a long talk and they tried really hard and it didn't work out. And I was surprised because, you know, the rumor is always that she has this anger problem. And I feel like they always want to make women seem like they're against each other. And I think at the end of the day, the truth is that was a lot of money. You know, she commands a pretty big salary. They had a huge staff, which is, you know, unheard of for a cable program like that. And I just think it was too expensive. But I thought she did really well. And then she went into an interview with Lily Tomlin, and you'd have no idea that the show was being canceled. Because I feel like if a show was being canceled, it would be pretty easy to just be like, oh, I have no interest in this interview and not be there. She was completely present.
Kind of already checked out, yeah.
Yeah, she did not check. She was totally present. She did such a great job. And it's interesting. There's kind of like a Hollywood website called Deadline where you can read, you know, stuff that happens like that. And the comments at the bottom were so angry. I mean, people are like vicious about what Oprah's trying to do. And I'm still curious, you know, and it kind of speaks to our guest that's coming on today, Alan Cohen, who wrote a book called Enough Already, which is spectacular. And it's the power of radical contentment. And it's interesting to me that Oprah has this idea to create a network that is about forward thinking and positive thinking and uplifting programming. And thus far, it is really not doing well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the American public wants that all the time, even though, you know, I liked it, you know, for an hour a day, but 24 hours a day, I don't know. It's very, very interesting.
I think it's counterintuitive. Like, if she wanted, why did she get rid of her show if she, now she has a network with a million shows she has to be in charge of? Like,
well, being in charge of a network is a very different kind of energy, says he who has never run a network in his life.
Right. What do you know?
Did you like that power of authority, though?
I like that. Yeah,
you know,
when
I used to run CBS, it was exhausting. But I don't think she wanted to be on camera anymore. And then what's interesting is the only time they get significant ratings
is when she's on camera.
Right. Yeah.
Which leads me to, did you watch the Lady Gaga interview? I don't know why I'm asking you, Benny, because I know the answer.
Yeah, because I'm a huge Gaga fan.
It was spectacular.
Oprah did a great job with her.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. First of all, she's saying that this is one of her last interviews. I got the sense that she, this is just my little intuitive hunch, that she's planning on getting married fairly soon, and she wants to kind of pull away from the, oh, now I can see you. She wants to pull away from the public eye, which I think is a good thing. But it was really interesting to see her in her childhood home, which, guys, if you watched it, we lived in New York. That apartment was a three-story apartment on the Upper West Side.
With a yard.
With a yard. That place, what's your guess?
$5 million? I don't even know.
It was First of all, anytime someone says, wow, when the bedrooms are upstairs.
Oh, that's a start.
They're pretty high rollers.
You've already reached a million.
You're already at the million.
Are you
kidding?
You're the cap. I don't know.
We had a seven. David would hate if I said this. I would never. No, I won't do that. But Benny just almost spit up
his
drink.
I almost spit coffee all over the board.
David's like, don't you say how much our apartment was.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But it was interesting to see that, which makes sense, though, that she went to private school and she's been classically trained as a musician. I just always think it's interesting. I like to see anyone around their parents. I want to see Benny around his parents. I mean, nothing pleases me more than to meet people's parents, because something changes about your dynamic. I'm immediately in the fetal position. I'm rolling my eyes when I'm around my parents. Like, it would be, someday we will have one of my parents on the show and you will see me squirm for the entire hour. So to see Lady Gaga around her mom was so funny. You know, they were trying to respect each other and yet they would disagree occasionally. And the moment of all moments was when they were sharing a cup of tea, three ladies, Mrs. Gaga, Lady Gaga, and Oprah. And Oprah leaned over the table and fixed her mother's hair.
Really?
She fixed her mother's
hair. Well, it was just out of kind of a wordless, like,
it was a very strange moment.
I'm going to ask you a question and fix your hair.
And I'm going to fix your hair.
Which is that moment where, what's just going on here?
When this is how DVR has changed my life, because I watched that moment 6 times. I stopped. David was in the kitchen, and I said, get in here. She just fixed Mrs. Gaga's hair, and we had to watch it over and over again. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Because it's real.
Because it's totally real.
It's
and you know, that moment, if it was happening to you, first you'd be like, oh, my God, Oprah's touching my hair. Will it turn to gold? Should I sell it on eBay? And then you're like,
would you flinch? Would you react? I feel like I'd flinch.
Well,
like, why are you reaching out
hand
and touching
out of the hair? Why are you, what are you touching me for, Oprah? Do not
slap
touch
her
me.
Away. Yeah, that right? would have been a moment.
You touched Oprah's hand. Oh my.
And I realized it was like a doting moment. It was just very, very, very interesting, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But she was basically talking about her new foundation, the Born This Way Foundation, which is supposed to be all against bullying. And she was very, very candid about, you know, her own process of being made fun of as a kid. And I don't know. I just think she's very honest. And I thought it was also interesting that she was talking about, she didn't use the word depression. This was my interpretation. But when she goes into her creative process, she completely shuts herself off from all media, TV and music while working on a new album. And she made it kind of sound like she goes to a little bit of a dark place, didn't you think, David?
A little unbalanced.
Yeah.
Where she says,
I drink too much,
and she doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
And she said, until the door, she called it the opening the door, like when she has the music that's going to be her next album, the door is open and she can relax and like communicate with the world, but not before then.
Well, I can't imagine that pressure. Like, even the guy with that Kony video, you know, that video that's been so popular,
yeah,
that
mm-hmm.
got like, what was it, 100 million hits in a week?
Yeah.
And then just recently he I want to say this politely, but had a little bit of a breakdown.
Yeah, he snapped or whatever.
I think when you have that much pressure and you're not prepared for it, I think it can feel completely overwhelming. So it was interesting to hear her say, like, what if I can't do it again and I disappear and I stop calling family and friends? Right. I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting interview. I thought she did a great job. She always does a good job.
Do you think, though, Lady Gaga, like, kind of, like, makes herself feel inferior a lot of the times? Like, she puts herself down more than what she is, because I feel like she's always talking about her, like, I'm not ever satisfied with all my performances, I always could do better, and yet they're phenomenal. But
we've talked about this on the show before. When people call in, I think it's very indicative of the creative process that it is hard for people to see when they've done a good job. Most artists think, I could have done more, it could have been better. And when you're commanding that kind of presence that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are coming to see you, I would imagine you want to hit that note.
With every single person.
With every single
person. Well, I feel the same way here. There's sometimes where I could be super on it or super not, and I'll hear it later. I'm like, well, it really wasn't that bad. But in the moment, I'm like, oh, I could have done that better.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. So I think the lesson for all of us is we have to be kinder.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about Rosie. She was like, we tried as hard as we could. It didn't work out, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Guys, speaking of that, our next guest coming up in segment two is Alan Cohen. I adore this guy. He wrote a book. His new book is called Enough Already, The Power of Radical Contentment. And we're going to talk about that. How can you find joy and happiness today? It's not about getting a bigger house. It's not about finding the perfect relationship. It's about finding it in the now. If you've got questions, if you want to join the conversation, our number 1-800-930-2819. Or don't forget, go to transformationtalkradio.com. Click the instant feedback button, and I will read your question live on the air. When we come back, my guest, Alan Cohen. I'm Dougal Fraser. Stay with us.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Let me help you take your empowering message to a community of people looking for products and services that value all life on earth and tap into the one true freedom we have, the freedom to choose. Let our listeners choose you. Join the buzz and be the buzz. Sponsor the Dr. Pat Show. Call me at 206-523-5522. That's 206-523-5522.
What if your best friend could take a peek into the future? Psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Fraser is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Do you feel trapped by your own bad habits? Are you still eating the wrong foods or smoking? Or just trapped in self-destructive thinking? If so, help is available at stephanierisley.com. Let certified hypnotherapist Stephanie Risley reprogram your brain. Her Power Tools of Transformation CD series can help you take control of your life. Call 323-933-4377 or go to stephanierisley.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Psychic Dougal Fraser here. Guys, I am super excited. We have a guest calling all the way from magical Hawaii, author Alan Cohen, who just wrote a new book called Enough Already, The Power of Radical Contentment, which I love. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I am thrilled to be on your show, buddy.
Oh, my God. I'm so honored. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. And I have to say, I love this new book. Absolutely love it.
Thank you so much.
So tell me, you know, I agree with you. We are in a culture that is obsessed with more, that we aren't good enough, whether it's our body image or the size of our house or how much money we make or where we are in our life. Tell me what made you decide to write this book of getting people to look at the power of thought and connect it to reaching their own happiness and contentment.
It was my own evolution, Dougal. I've been accumulating stuff for many years, and I decided to start deaccumulating stuff. And I reached a point in my life where I realized if I didn't have enough by now, or I wasn't enough by now, I would never become enough. So
yeah.
I decided to practice looking at my life through the eyes of celebration and appreciation rather than constantly reaching for more. And the sense of peace and ease and relief that came over me was astounding. So I decided to keep practicing it, and the book came out of that.
And what's interesting to me is, you know, the premise that I got from the book was it's not about getting rid of stuff. Like, you still celebrate in things. You're very honest about the fact that, you know, sometimes you get a little addicted to your computer and, you know, your wife has to kind of pull you away from working. So it's not about, you know, wiping the slate clean and living in the woods, but it's more about kind of celebrating in what you have in front of you, right?
It's all attitudinal, because there are people who can live in the woods and their minds are still completely obsessed with weirdness, and they're stuck in the world because they're stuck in their head. And their people have lots of stuff, and they're at peace because they're coming at it from a sense of wholeness. So really, it has very little to do with what you're doing and a lot to do with how you're doing it.
Yeah, and you know, I was interested, if we can talk about this, you mentioned in there that at a certain part in your life, were you raised Orthodox Jewish? Or you
yes.
said that you practiced that as an adult?
I adopted it when I was age 14 and did it for 7 years on my own.
Wow, 7 years. So I'm curious, you know, my husband was raised in an Orthodox family. When you started your spiritual journey, did you have any issues kind of moving from that faith?
Well, actually, moving from that space was what started my spiritual journey, because I was very strict for 7 years, following all the laws of the Sabbath and electricity and all that. My mother made a joke that I was 60 years old before I was 20. And then one day when I was in late college, it was a fast day, Yom Kippur, and you're not supposed to eat.
Mm.
And I was very, very hungry. And I realized that the only reason I was not eating was because I was afraid I would go to hell if I did.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that fear is not a reason to do any religious act. And if I had to live in fear, I just wouldn't live. And so I ate a piece of cake, and my whole life changed, because at that moment, I began to source my life from inside out rather than outside in. And that was the beginning of my spiritual path.
Oh, I absolutely love that. You know, it's so funny, because every year we honor Yom Kippur, and I fast and I go through it. And, you know, one of the things that I used to ask in the beginning is, so help me out here. Are we doing this because we're afraid of what God thinks? Or are we doing this because we're honoring your ancestry? Like, how does that work?
Right.
And in our family, we decided to, now we do like a cleanse, whether it's a juice cleanse or some kind of a cleanse. We try to blend in what we're interested in. But I always find that interesting, if people are doing it out of the fear of God, like you said, or if it's more of a conscious choice of what they want to do.
Well, someone said that religion is for people who are afraid of hell, and spirituality is for people who've already been there.
Right. I love that.
And so I think there comes a point when you have to, you know, anything that you do out of fear is not going to work, including fear of God. We actually, you know, we belong to Netflix, and sometimes it's Christian, but one guy went around telling people God is not angry at you. And I thought, wow, what an affirmation, because so many of us believe that God hates us and wants to punish us. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's the exact opposite of the way God is. As far as I can see, God is pure love. Everything else is illusion.
I totally agree with that. You know, so I'm curious, you pull a lot from the Course in Miracles in your book. You talk a lot about Buddhism. You know, you've mentioned things of Judaism. So when you look at your own faith now, what do you practice?
I practice joy wherever I can find it. And I practice relating to higher power wherever I can feel its love. So I don't fall into any isms or boxes these days. I basically move with the spirit. I trust happiness. I ask for peace where I can find it. Somehow, you know, there's a great spirit that runs the universe, and he or she does not belong to any religion. It's just like it's everywhere.
I love that you say you trust happiness, because you know, in my work as a psychic and as a coach, you know, I find that that is a little bit of a trigger for someone. You know, if let's say you're losing your home, or, you know, your relationship has just ended. How do you give tips to people who, you know, let's say they really are in a place of despair or hurting or a difficult situation? How do you encourage people to trust in happiness? I think that's a great thing.
Well, it's all about reframing, because, you know, every situation is neutral, and what you experience depends on how you interpret it. So sometimes what seem to be the worst things that happen turn out to be the best. So, you know, when I do a lot of coaching, I do life coach training as well, and there are two elements to a healer. One is compassion, and the other is vision. So you have compassion. You know, as a coach and healer, you do this, I'm sure. You have compassion for the pain the person is in, and simultaneously you hold the bigger picture vision for how this could actually fit into the pattern of healing and greatness and liberation. And if you can get the person to see that this actually might serve them in the big picture, you're most of the way home.
Yeah, see, and I love that. And I think that's an interesting perspective for all human beings, myself included, is can you pull yourself out of a situation and look at it from a higher perspective to see what the lesson and what the joy is there? But don't you agree, Alan, that we're in a culture right now that doesn't support that? That, you know, the news, every time you read a paper, you turn on the television, you turn on the radio, 9 times out of 10, we're being delivered a subconscious message of everything's falling apart.
Yes, because people thrive on drama and adrenaline, and, you know, CNN stands for constantly negative news. You know, people have a diet of poison. Someone said that the news is basically a proctological view of life, where, you know, it basically focused on one little area of the worst and the waste, and it's completely illusory, completely deceptive, and if you put your head into that zone, you're going to be unhappy. So you have to have the courage to rise above mass thought and mass media, and that's the only chance of salvation, really, because otherwise you're cooked.
Now, that's a great topic. So you have to rise above mass media. Now, how do you do that? How do you disconnect?
Well, first of all, you quit doing stuff that brings you down. So if the news brings you down, or drama, slasher movies bring you down, or people talking trash brings you down, you cannot afford to participate in those events. They are sucks and drains on your life. And then simultaneously, you have to cultivate activities that empower you, whether it's inspirational movies or discussions with intelligent people or reading uplifting books or going to seminars or walking in the woods. You have to tell the truth about what lifts you and tell the truth about what deadens you and constantly move in the direction of life.
I totally agree with that. Guys, if you've got questions for Alan or you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-930-2819. Again, that number is 1-800-930-2819. Or go to Transformation Talk Radio, click the instant feedback button. I see Thomas, I see Trina, I see Beth. I'm going to read one of them when we come back from the break. Guys, my guest today is Alan Cohen, author of the new book, Enough Already, The Power of Radical Contentment. I'm Dougal Fraser. We'll be right back.
Have you asked your dentist about periodontal disease? 3 out of 4 adults in Seattle unknowingly suffer from this painless but progressive infection caused by bacterial plaque. If not carefully treated, these bacteria can infect your gums, deteriorating the tissue and causing tooth loss. At Pacific Northwest Periodontics and Implant Dentistry, we offer a different kind of patient experience, providing the highest level of perio care within a relaxing environment. After a thorough examination, our doctors will take the time to understand your needs, address your concerns, and review a variety of treatment options with you. Our goal is to work with you to ensure the integrity of your dental health. Don't allow periodontal disease to take your teeth. Call Pacific Northwest Periodontics at 206-575-1086 to schedule an appointment. Or to learn more about periodontics, visit us online at pnwperio.com.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Discover the ancient art of herbal medicine today. Herbs can help our bodies respond better to the modern world's stress and toxicity, as well as nourishing and strengthening. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness help you choose the herbs best suited for your body. See what herbs can do for your life and health by visiting our downtown Kirkland location or check out our offerings and informative classes online at urbanwellness.net. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.net.
She's ready to see you now.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. As always, what goes on behind during the commercial break is always amazing. My guest today, author Alan Cohen. Alan, you've written 24 books.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I mean, are you aware? I was reading it on the way to the studio, and I was like, 24 books? I'm still exhausted from one.
Well, I just do it for fun. They come, and I'm excited. You know, I teach people to follow their passion, and when I get a new idea that impassions me, I go with it. So that's just the process.
See, and this is what I love about you. You can hear it in your voice. You just said, I just do it for fun. And, you know, one of the things we talk about on the show when people call in is, you know, they're always trying to manifest something, whether it's a job or, you know, a certain amount of money or a relationship or something like that. And a lot of times I can hear in their voice a lack of joy.
Right.
You know, they're going into this energy of creation, but their heart isn't singing. And it's interesting to me that I'm speaking to a man who's written 24 books and there's a giggle in your voice. Like, get a load of that. I wrote 24 books. You know, there's no ego. It really feels like pure joy to you.
Well, I don't do anything that's not joyful. Put it this way, when I discuss, like, my wife and I have an agreement, unless it's fun, we don't do it. And sometimes she'll walk into my office, and one day I was laboring over some website thing I was trying to fix, and she said, are you having fun? And I said, no. She said, well, then stop it. And I said, you're right. And I turned the computer off, and I got up, and I walked away. And I try to discipline myself to do that without her needing to remind me. And if we can all do that, you know, God, what a joyful world this would be.
I totally agree. So speaking of creating and manifesting things, I loved in Chapter 5, you talk about the master's formula. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, you know, here it is. First you conceive, you get an idea, and then you believe in it. You have to be in alignment. You have to be in a vibrational alignment with your conception. And then you visualize it, you dive into it, and you step into that realm as if it's already so.
Mm.
And then, in fact, you know, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, which means that There are many parallel realities, and there is a reality in which your dream has already come true. This is key. This is a pivotal point of transformation. Then you have to act on it. You don't just sit around and wait for somebody to do it for you. Sometimes it happens if you're lucky, but usually you have to participate in your manifestation. And then, this is the key that most people don't get, is you have to release. You have to say, okay, I've done my part. I now place it in the hands of the universe. I trust that this is right for me. It will happen. So be it. Let go and let God. And then you go about your day. And I've been doing that for many, many years, and it works to the extent I practice it.
Well, this is what I love about this. You know, in my understanding, most of my clients have the conceive, believe, and visualize part down pat.
Right.
The act part.
Right.
That's the part that's, you know, and with things like, and, you know, I honor books like The Secret, but I think a lot of times those things are misunderstood. It's this idea that all I have to do is envision a diamond tennis bracelet and it's going to pop up in the door.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not how it works. You have to apply for a job. You have to ask someone out on a date. You have to write the treatment for the book you're envisioning. It's
right.
The action part that I think people get kind of nervous about sometimes.
Well, here's the thing that most people don't understand. I totally agree. You're right on. Is that in the action is the journey.
Mm.
And, you know, we learn from the journey, not just sitting in your house and visualizing a red car. And so the people you meet in looking for that red car and in negotiating for the red car and finally getting the joy of getting it, those pieces are inherent and crucial to our learning. So we have to participate in our healing to the extent that we do our part and then the universe does its part.
Absolutely. And you know, I also think it's interesting. I was thinking about this yesterday. I've been trying to manifest something personally, and I'm way too attached to it. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm dissecting it from all angles, and it's really at the point where I've done what I can do, and now I have to let it go. And to find my center again, what I try to focus on is, okay, so my brain is attached to this physical manifestation, but let's think about how I want to feel once I achieve that. Because
exactly.
I think you can find that sense of abundance or love or passion or accomplishment or whatever it is. You can find that today.
Right.
And when you reach that, that's actually when you attract the thing or the project or something actually to you. Do you agree?
Are we watching the same movie or what? I'll give you a classic example. A woman comes to me and says, would you help me manifest my dream home? Sure. Mm. Tell me about the dream home. Well, it's large, it's high on a hill, there are big trees around it, and it's overlooking the ocean. Great. Okay, what does the home feel like? Secure. Why do you like trees? They represent growth. Why is it on a hill? I want the perspective. Why do you like the ocean? Depth. Okay, so what you're telling me is that you really want the experience
right.
of security, growth, perspective, and depth. So if you could feel all those things right now, would you need your home? Well, not really. Okay, I'm not trying to stop you from getting your home. I'd love for you to have it, but if you don't find that experience before you have the home, you're not going to find it after you get it. You have to look inside for what seems to be outside.
I love it. Did you see Tom Shadyac's film, is it I Am, I think was the title of it?
Yeah, very well done.
And he shows that image where he's in that, what was it, $20 million mansion, and yet when he walked through the front door, he felt lonely.
He moved to a trailer park.
I know, I love that. And it's interesting because I think as a culture, especially American culture, we are obsessed with financial status.
Right.
And, you know, in Enough Already, you talk a lot about, you know, feeling contentment and joy, but not being attracted to that. And I was thinking of that when David and I first moved from New York to L.A., you know, we had a one-bedroom apartment in New York, and we moved to L.A., bought the same, you know, financial amount home here, but it felt like a palace. Because if you took our house and you put it in the same building we were living in New York, it would have been millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
So we would walk through houses with our real estate agent going, oh my God, this is enormous.
Yeah.
And it was all perspective. You know, it had nothing to do with the price. It was how I felt in the space and what I was used to.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you have to notice how you feel about everything. I'm a big teacher of moving with your gut. So I get lots of invitations, as I know you do, for everything from relationships to sex to movies to events. And my 99% criteria is I try it on for size.
white space. Guys, the book again is enough already. The Power of Radical Contentment. It's fantastic. Please get it on Amazon today. Don't forget, we're giving away two free copies. You can go to DougalFraser.com, click the win button, or go to our Facebook page and enter the contest. We have a question coming from Thomas Scottfield in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a question for Alan. He says, can you touch on the difference between contentment and complacency?
Yes, contentment is not lazy. Contentment involves doing as we said and moving with the action and trusting you're part of it. Complacency means that you accept what is because you don't believe there's more.
Mm.
Now, Tony Robbins once said the formula for life is happy and hungry.
Mm.
And it's not, some people are just happy and they're lazy and complacent. Other people are hungry and they're never satisfied. Moving toward more and reaching for what you want and saying, hey, I'm doing well, but I might be able to do even better, that's part of contentment because the process of moving toward better is also happy. So it's kind of a paradox. You have to be able to hold two simultaneously, enjoying what is and also celebrating reaching for more.
And don't you think there are some people also who go into a place of what I like to call like inauthentic joy? I call
right.
them vitamin breath people, where you meet them and nothing gets on the
breath?
Yeah, vitamin breath. And what I mean is they take too many workshops and it's constant vitamins and they're juicing, but they have kind of an empty look, even though they're smiling. They don't feel connected to me. So I call them vitamin breath people. I think some people like to project an image of joy that's not authentic. And that to me isn't the same as contentment. Contentment to me is a very balanced space. Would you agree?
Exactly. You know, and I'd much rather deal with a real person than a spiritual person, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm not validating people who do all the vitamins and everything, because that really is an honest step toward it. But at some point, you have to be honest about your experience. And if something is hurting, you have to say, this is hurting, not to dwell on it, not to milk it, not to be a drama queen about it, but just say, okay, this is a lesson that's in my face. Let me work with this. And when I come out on the other side, I will have true spirituality.
Yeah, I totally agree. I want to talk a little bit about your life coaching training, because we have so many listeners who, talk about wanting to be a coach or a mentor in some way, but they don't know how to begin that journey or process. Can you talk a little bit about your training program?
Well, I train people to become life coaches in whatever domain that they are comfortable and excited about. So I encourage niche coaching. We have people who are coaching people with bipolar. We have gay people. We have people coaching relationships. We have, you know, whatever your journey is, that is the thing that empowers you to coach in that domain. So you have to be honest once again about where your joy lives. And then the second element that we teach people is that a coach does not have to have all the answers. You're not a guru. You're basically a friend who is co-partnering with somebody and helping them to get clear on where their passion lives and where the truth is guiding them. So we've had a great deal of success with this program because we've had people who are really ready to step beyond just working on themselves, and they want to serve others as well. My next program is starting in September. It's a 6-month program. It's starting to fill up, and and the other thing I say is that good coaching is like good sex. Both people should be enjoying it. So if you're coaching and teaching and you're bored, it's not it.
Right.
In every healing relationship, it's a two-way street. And both people benefit. If both people are not benefiting, it's not it.
I love that. Guys, so if you want to get more information on Alan's book or the coaching program, go to alancohen.com. That's C-O-H-E-N. Alan, before I let you go, here's the deal. Our tagline is from meditation to martinis and from gurus to gossip. So we've talked about the kind of higher chakra spiritual aspect of your being. I got to know, what's your guilty pleasure? Do you have to have a Snicker bar once a week? Is there a TV show you can't miss? What's your guilty pleasure?
I'm not so guilty, but I enjoy rubbing my dog's belly. We have five dogs.
Five dogs?
That's a lot of rubbing.
We had two parents, and they had three puppies, and they were too cute to give them away.
Oh, how cute. What kind of dogs?
Pomeranian Maltese, little ones. Very cute. And I'll tell you, I've been around the world. I just got my million miler status from United Airlines. I've been around the world 40 times.
Million miler? Oh my God. I am a mile, like, I'm what? Crazy about miles. That is spectacular.
Wow.
A million miles.
Well, and then some. That's just United. And I'll tell you, to be really, really honest, there's no place I'd rather go than laying in bed with my wife and my dogs, rubbing their bellies, having them lick me to wake up. It's like the greatest therapy in the universe. It's more fun to me than anything else.
I absolutely love that. You guys, you heard it here. Author of 24 books, and what brings him great joy is being in bed with his wife and all the dogs. I love it. Remember, the book is Enough Already, The Power of Radical Contentment. Author Alan Cohen, my guest today, absolutely spectacular. Go to the Facebook page. We're giving away 2 copies. But more importantly, go to Amazon and help find your own joy. Alan, it was an honor. I think you're spectacular. Thank you so much. You do great work, and keep doing what you're doing.
Back at you, Google. Thanks so much.
Take care. Guys, when we come back, we're going to be talking about, did you ever want to get advice from Danielle Staub? Are you curious about Lindsay Lohan's parents? You can talk to them directly. I'm going to give you all the information. I'm Dougal Fraser. We'll be right back.
Do you feel trapped by your own bad habits? Are you still eating the wrong foods or smoking? Or just trapped in self-destructive thinking? If so, help is available at StephanieRisley.com. Let certified hypnotherapist Stephanie Risley reprogram your brain. Her Power Tools of Transformation CD series can help you take control of your life. Call 323-933-4377 or go to StephanieRisley.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker, Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
What if your best friend could take a peek into the future? Psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Fraser is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, The Dougal Fraser Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's The Dougal Fraser Show.
If you or anyone you love has a degenerative or bulging disc, you need to know the doctors at Wellness One of Bellevue and Eastgate. For bulging discs of the back and neck, they use the DRX-9000 spinal decompression machine. It gently creates negative pressure on the specific degenerated disc that allows the body to naturally repair itself. No drugs and no surgery. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net to learn more about spinal decompression at Wellness One of Bellevue and Eastgate. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Do you want a love life that's full of happiness, partnership, and fun?
A relationship that works for you instead of you having to work so hard on it?
We all want our love lives to be happy. But how exactly do you do that?
To find out, tune in each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Noah and Christine Show, keeping the happy and happily ever after.
We promise you a humorous and honest show for both men and women, featuring the simple, practical, and yes, fun tools that any couple can use to keep the love and happiness growing and flowing.
We'll see you on the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Psychic Dougal Fraser here. God, I loved Alan Cohen. He was so nice. It's so weird because I've read several of his books before, so it's so weird to like talk to someone on the phone and, you know, interview them, and it's just a fun thing. I love my job, and I loved his joy. You know, you can hear it in someone's voice when they are, you know, and I use this a lot in my work. You know, a lot of times when I'm first tuning in, I'm really trying to sense what I get from your voice, and he just sounds like a happy guy. Speaking of voices, I read this story this morning. So there's a new company starting. It's called Dial a Star. And various celebrities are signing up for a service that allows you to call and speak with them on a pay-per-minute basis.
Really?
Yeah. So here's the ridiculous part. Mm. This is one of the things they were touting. Lindsay Lohan's parents, Michael and Dina, $10 a minute. first of all. Yeah, just the parents. So I just want to know who in our country, in our world, but thinks, what? I'll call Michael Lowen. You know, I'll get information from him. You can call Octomom, I can never say her name, Nadja Suleman. And remember when Charlie Sheen had a little bit of a breakdown and he had his goddesses? They charge $15 a minute. For what? Just a conversation.
Seriously.
And the heavy hitter was New Jersey housewife Danielle Staub.
Huh.
Right.
How much does she charge?
$18 a minute.
Oh, my God.
$18 a minute.
Well, I'll say this. You don't need to charge if you want to call to talk to Dougal. So, I mean, by right away.
That's true. You just call 1-800-930.
I know.
But and then they only get to keep 50% of it. But I'm very curious if this works out. So I was trying to think, okay, obviously we all know, you're all listening, you know I'd call Oprah. I'd do it for $18 a minute. I'd do it for $20.
You would.
Of course I would.
Man, come on. We can pull strings. We're going to get a direct line right to her for you. No need to pay.
There's no one from childhood, there's no any person, living or dead, that if you could call famous, a celebrity, anyone you would call for $18 a minute. Anyone?
I don't know.
Live or can they be dead and brought back?
Yeah. Just for the sake of the question.
Just man. Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe. I'd want to know if she was killed or not.
That's you would call Whitney and you know it, David.
Oh, mm.
You're obsessed.
That's a toss up.
That's a tough
David's going to have all weekend to think about that one.
Well, I understand, you know, kids, obviously. Oh. Like, if you could call Justin Bieber, can you imagine? Oh. So it's 10 years from now, right? And the boys are obsessed with the new teen sensation and they are begging you, please, Dad, it's $20 a minute. Can we please call Justin Bieber? Can you, you know, it's going to happen.
This is the new 900 from like,
exactly.
You know,
right. Yeah. Do you remember calling Santa as a kid?
I wrote to Santa. I did old school. Because we live so close to the North Pole, it was easy to get. Don't laugh. I'm from Alaska. The North Pole is not that far away from y'all down here.
Right. It's basically your bus stop.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, so how did that work?
Oh, I forgot. David's Jewish. Okay, so they would run commercials during cartoons for a 900 number to call Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And I would beg my parents.
Please.
Yeah. All you were doing was getting an automated voice that would be like, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, it wasn't even a person.
But you fell for it.
Yep.
Hook, line, and sinker. It was just like talking to my grandmother. He didn't respond to any questions. He just steamed rolled. You know, I got your list. I hope you're being good. I'm watching you like a hawk.
Very generic answers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And $6 later, you were a happy camper.
Yeah.
But they played it all the time. So I always wanted to call. Another thing I saw online, which I thought was really, really interesting. So there's a Miami plastic surgeon being investigated for a rock video that he created for a commercial. He's the so-called Dr. Schnoz, is what they call him. His name is Dr. Michael Salzhauer. But he produced a rock video about rhinoplasty or nose jobs called Jewcam Slam.
Jewcam Sam.
Sam.
Sam, right.
Yeah. So this was so distasteful. It's basically a video of a kid in high school who's wearing a yarmulke and he gets rejected by a pretty blonde woman because of his nose, which prompts him to get a nose job. And the rest of it is supposed to be like, oh, look at how great it is. I got my nose job.
Well, it's actually a music video.
Yeah.
Like they
No, but they used it as a commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
But they paid like a band
it's
and
full
flew
on,
them down and paid a director and produced a real music video.
So the ironic part is the doctor, the band, and the video's director are all Orthodox Jews, which I thought was fascinating.
Huh.
And,
really?
And so I said to David, may I disclose? Mm-hmm. So you are Jewish.
I am.
You
still late
a nose
for that,
job.
But we're just saying. No,
but you've also had a nose job.
I have had a nose job.
I want to know your thoughts watching it. Look at Benny's face.
I didn't know this. This is new information.
I said this morning I was sipping coffee and I was like, can I say that you've
I don't care.
Okay,
I
okay.
Don't care. Was it, you mean, was I offended?
Yeah.
I thought that it was offensive. Just the idea of, oh, well, if you want the pretty girl, then you need a nice nose that's not big.
Right. Like, I mean, what kind of message are we saying? And it was kid in high school.
Yes. I thought that was offensive. I don't think they're bigoted. Mm. I think, you know, given the fact that they are all Orthodox Jews themselves, I think that it may have been like maybe not the most like open thinking thing. Like maybe other people would be offended by this, but I don't think they themselves are bigoted. I just thought it was an idea that was not executed very well.
Well, I think it perpetuates stereotypes. First of all, I don't like the fact that they're featuring, you know, I can't imagine being in high school and being told, you know, I was made fun of enough for my weight and my sexuality, and then being told that physically I wasn't good enough. You know, we have like an epidemic of teen suicide right now, and this is a doctor. You know, there's something about when you take that oath, when you put on that lab coat, like people look to you for guidance, and even in plastic surgery. I just thought it was really, really sad. I mean, it's one thing. So I'm curious, David, when you were in high school, did your parents like encourage it? Did you have to be a certain age? Did you bring it up?
They did not encourage it. And they...
Although your mom did tell the doctor she wanted your nose to look like Michael Jackson.
Well, that...
That's true. It's true.
That was a lapse in judgment for her. But no, she did not push that. They didn't push the idea, and they did make me wait.
Until how old?
Until I was out of high. I was 18.
Oh, you were 18. Okay.
Yeah.
But was that a law or what your parents
it's
did?
Not a law. You okay. can get permission from your parents.
I just thought that was crazy.
I think 18 is a good age anyways. You're kind of out on your own officially, you know, without being a legal guardian or whatever. You're kind of making own decisions.
Yeah.
So at that point, legally, I guess it could be all right.
What would you do, Benny, when your kids are older, if they felt like there was something about them physically that they wanted to change?
That's their own, but until they're out of the house.
So out of the house.
18
yeah.
and older, seriously. I think if you have the right to vote and make decisions that way and guns or whatever, then that is the point. You know, you can start making decisions on your own. You're going to learn from them.
Right. You're in control of your own body.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah.
But you are correct. I mean, you're not the only one that was offended by this. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons is investigating whether he violated, you know, like the group's code of ethics, and he might lose his license. Like, that's a big deal.
I don't blame him. I mean, it's difficult because I think it was supposed to be a parody and it's supposed to be a joke, but it just, you know, this is where sarcasm and humor, there's a fine line between offensive, David's nodding, this is a topic we talk about quite often.
Fine line.
Yeah, there's a fine line between being offensive and, you know, just trying to empower people. I don't know. I thought it was interesting and it was getting a lot of play. But there's also that thing of, you know, it's kind of like as a gay person, I can make fun of the gay community, but, you know, you can't.
Exactly.
That's a weird gray area.
And it would be very easy to make a joke that you can say because you kind of own that minority status, but a lot of people would be offended. You know, there are a lot of jokes you could make that would not go over well outside of, you know, your living room.
Yeah, yeah. So another story we talked about too is there's a new Israeli law banning underweight models in local ads. I love this. I absolutely love it. I wish I'd posted this.
What determines underweight though?
That's a good point. Let's see.
They refer to the United Nations. They have a standard called the Body Mass Index, which is, you know,
the BMI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something about, I think it's like it's relative to your height and weight, and that's what they use. So I think according to them, what is it if you're...
They said less than 18.5 is indicative of malnutrition. Well, that's interesting though, because then it says top Israel model Adi Newman said she would not pass because her BMI is 18.3 and she's the top model. But that's the thing. You know, we look at these images, you know, as inspiration, and it's, you know, there's no truth in advertising. That's not like a real...
Speaking of the truth in advertising, though, I think that's what is really cool about this law, the Israeli ban. It's not just on underweight models. They also require magazines, publications to put like a disclaimer if they were airbrushed or made to look thinner. Like they would have to show like, OK, by the way, this, you know, photograph is not.
We've adjusted it without.
We've adjusted it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's fine. You know, I think that's the right thing to do. It's like makeup on TV. Most people don't look that. You know, their skin isn't that even and that perfect.
They look good, but they don't look that good.
They don't look that good.
There's just no way.
Exactly.
There's just no way.
There's no way. Guys, so many topics today. Don't forget, we are giving away two copies of Alan Cohen's book, Enough Already, The Power of Radical Contentment. There are two ways you can win. You can go to dougalfraser.com. There's a little tab on the left that says win, or go to the Facebook page, and on the left-hand column, you click the sweepstakes button, and we're going to give away two copies because I am obsessed with giving you free stuff. Don't forget, guys, we have exactly exactly 1 month until the cruise. If you want to join Colette Baron-Reed and myself, go to lifejourneys.net, scroll down to Our Cruise, and call my friend Tony to book your cabin because there's only a few left. Tomorrow, I will be on CBS New Sky Radio doing readings all hour at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join me there. If you missed part of the show today with Alan, please go to dougalfraser.com, click Recent Press for all the info, and call me for a reading. I'd love to talk to you. 1-877-936-8425. Benny, David, Brian, everybody, I adore you. Thank you for everything. Up next, the Dr. Pat Show on Transformation Talk Radio. You're going to want to listen. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio. Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey everybody, we'll see you there.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.